This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Healthcare in the United States today must serve a diversity of patients. And likewise, the healthcare system benefits from reflecting that diversity in its healthcare workers. We'll hear with more on this is Dr. Brian Thompson. He's the director of obstetrics at Upstate University Hospital's community campus and the medical director of the Upstate Midwifery Program. In addition to these duties, Dr. Thompson also serves as the assistant dean for diversity at Upstate Medical University. He's also a member of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, American Indian, Alaska Native Women's Health Committee, among others. Welcome, Dr. Thompson. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for this opportunity today.
So you have a very special interest, I guess, in attracting a diverse population for training in healthcare, I guess. Tell us about that.
Yes. Not very known is that the last Native American to enter medical school from our region was actually myself, and that was 23 years ago.
My goodness, that's shocking.
So when you look at that and you start to elevate and scale up the attention of that, our senior leadership at Upstate have an incredibly tender heart and recognize that. But not only for Native Americans, but also for other populations. When you look at African Americans, Hispanics, and the list goes on and on and on to try to further a diverse population at Upstate.
So that is really your goal, I mean, to increase the numbers of people of color in the healthcare worker field?
Oh, absolutely. When you look at healthcare statistics and the disparity of healthcare of underrepresented populations, what we have to do is to begin from the ground up. And the only way that you do that is by elevating the discussion.
I hadn't realized that you are part of the Native American community, so you have that special interest in this population. Do you think that, and indigenous peoples in general, do you think that they have been underserved by the healthcare system?
Yes. When you look at the statistics for per capita healthcare expenditures in the United States, if you look at Medicare, on average per person, the average person spends approximately about $12,000 a year. If you look at Medicaid, it's give or take approximately about $6,600 a year. When you look at people who have insurance, it's about $8,000 a year. When you look at the Veterans Administration, it's about $6,900 a year. But when you look at what services Native Americans, which is the Indian Health Service, it's about $2,850 per person per year.
So it's quite a distinction there.
Quite an incredible distinction of disparity of per capita healthcare costs.
So, what would be the result of that? I mean, it seems self-evident as to what the result in terms of their use of the facilities or use of what's available to them. But what do you see as the result of that?
Well, what you see is a health disparity. If you look at just the general statistics, there's approximately about 5.2 million Native Americans in the United States. The average life expectancy for Native Americans in the United States is about 4.2 years less than all other races combined. If you look at the life expectancy, for example, of the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, the average life expectancy of a male is only 52 years old. Or 48 years old. The average life expectancy of a woman is 52 years old, and that's the second lowest life expectancy in the Western Hemisphere. Only lower is Haiti.
So that's pretty shocking and pretty staggering, those statistics, in terms of the impact on the fact that they are underserved or, in a sense, either underutilizing or underserved by the healthcare system. What impact do you think an increase in the numbers of people in as healthcare workers might then have?
Yeah, will help to decrease the health disparity and help to improve the numbers. I mean, when you look at rates of chronic liver disease and cirrhosis and rates of cancer, violence against women is a huge, huge problem, not only in Native populations, but for all people and for all Indigenous people in the world.
But if they're currently underrepresented, they're obviously underrepresented within the healthcare worker system at this point. What's your concept of if they were better represented within the healthcare healthcare workers, how would that impact on the care given or on the utilization of care by these populations?
I think that when you look at the Native population as a whole, you have to look within itself. And the way that you do that is by mentoring youth, mentoring kids in junior high, high school, college, trying to get them into medical school, not only to be doctors, but to be nurses and ultrasound technicians and radiology technicians and administrators. And you start to build a healthcare system from the ground up. When you look at the numbers of Native students who are entering medical school, the numbers are very, very low. They haven't increased over time. They've actually decreased some. So we do have some catching up to do.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Brian Thompson. We're talking about the need for attracting more Native Americans to the field of healthcare, among other things. But there's a piece here that I think you have in mind in terms of if there were more people that looked like them, so to speak, or talked like them, or came from their community as healthcare workers, do you feel that the care delivered or their willingness to accept care would be greater, I guess?
Yeah. You know, and it's not only for Native populations, but if one of my ideas when you look at healthcare, not only in the United States, but you look at things globally, and we really need to look at things globally, is that Native American healthcare on rural reservations or in rural populations is just a template for rural healthcare in the United States in general and around the world. Patients enjoy having role models that are from their own ethnicity, from their own backgrounds. They're able to express their culture and their ideas.
Maybe the trust factor also plays a big role.
Absolutely.
So that perhaps maybe compliance, willingness to come to see the doctor and or mid-level worker to get help would be more apt if they recognized this person as someone they can identify with.
Absolutely.
So, and in your role for diversity, how have you specifically engaged in trying to increase their numbers?
So one of the programs that we're doing at Upstate that I'm very proud of is to look at our youth, all youth of all colors. One of the things that we do that I do is to go into junior high schools, to go into elementary schools, and to go into high schools. And something simple as a program of showing kids, high school kids, how to tie sutures, to make suture knots. We essentially teach them the same class that we would teach our own residents in obstetrics and gynecology. And these kids are amazing. They're so smart, and they pick it up so quickly. And it gives them the experience of and the fulfillment of being able to accomplish something that they see on TV, that they see other people do that they never imagined that they would be able to do themselves.
So it's almost a little window into what could be.
Yes. And it's an opportunity to not only attract kids to medicine, to be doctors, but to have kids attracted to be paramedics and EMTs and nurses and operating room technicians and just healthcare in general. So the key is to really get these kids when they're young to go into the junior high schools and the high schools and mentor them and bring them along and show them that there are other people that care about them.
In addition to that, you recently attended the United Nations World Conference on Indigenous Peoples, and you represented Upstate Medical University. What came out of that conference? I understand it was the first one of its kind.
It was a historic conference. It was a United Nations General Assembly meeting. It was a high plenary meeting of world leaders. It was tied with the climate conference that gained worldwide attention. It was 4 years in the planning to just allow indigenous peoples from around the world to even attend a General Assembly meeting. Just an incredible event.
Mm.
Some history of that is that it took approximately 30 years for the United Nations to develop what is known as the Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples.
Wow.
For the world. It is a document of just basic human rights, specifically for indigenous peoples. The question is how you further progress that declaration and to implement it. And part of this conference was to do that. And an outcome document came out of that.
For the entire world.
But
how about,
world.
What did you come away with in the little bit of time we have left? How did that impact on what your plans might be going forward?
The idea is to bring all of that energy and all of that ideas and how you incorporate it on a local, regional, and a national level to further enhance the healthcare of all people.
So it kind of gave you energy to move forward even more.
Yes.
Intensively with the work that you're doing here.
And it Upstate. Also gave the opportunity for Upstate to be able to interact on a global level.
Mm-hmm.
And to develop partnerships on a national, international level, and to work with the United Nations.
Very impressive. Very, very inspiring, too. And I wish you such good luck with this continued effort. I think it's going to only have tremendous impact on our healthcare system overall. I think all of us will benefit. My guest has been Dr. Brian Thompson. He's director of obstetrics at Upstate University Hospital's Community Campus, the medical director of Upstate's midwifery program, as well as the assistant dean for diversity at Upstate Medical University. Great work you're doing, Dr. Thompson. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.